It is May 18th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous day's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. We were saddened to hear of the death of Kevin Smith, the younger brother of Quantigo's Sean Smith, late last week. Condolences to Sean and the whole Smith family. I attended the memorial celebration for Fred Ullman on Friday afternoon. One of the problems with living until you are 93 is that most of your contemporaries have passed or are in assisted living or living in Florida. There was a good turnout of family at the memorial, but I did not see any industry people beyond family during the 2 hours I was there. Gary Flagler shared the news on LinkedIn of the death of Gloria Roa, formerly a trust manager and security service director at BBVA, Bank Comer Derivados. Gloria was a great part of the Mexican derivatives industry history, Gary said, including being the founding president of LATAM Women Enlisted Derivatives, or WILD. Condolences to the family and friends of Gloria. The Jason Billups GoFundMe campaign is up to $82,400. Thank you to all who have given and all who have yet to give to support Jason and his family as he battles to overcome a traumatic brain injury and several broken bones, including his pelvis, from a fall from the roof of his rental home in Kelowna, B.C. We are a month away from the City Against MND Network Cricket Day, raising funds for Motor Neuron Disease, MND, Association on June 23rd at the Honorary Artillery Club in the City of London. The question is whether the London Metal Exchange can retain the David Setters Trophy. The competitors it faces are ICE, Euronext, Trading Technologies, KRM22, and StoneX Group, Inc. If you would like to sponsor or donate to the event, you can do so with the link in today's newsletter. Miami International Holdings, Inc. has completed the acquisition of Ledger X from FTX debtors, MIAX said in a press release. MIH owned three equities exchanges, MIAX, MIAX Pearl, and MIAX Emerald, a stock exchange, the Bermuda Stock Exchange, a designated contract market, Minneapolis Grain Exchange, and a futures commission merchant, Dorman Trading LLC. Now it also owns another regulated exchange and clearinghouse that are registered as a designated contract market, DCM, designated clearing organization, DCO, with the CFTC, plus it is also registered as a swap execution facility, SEF, with the commission. I think MIAX just needs an introducing broker and a broker-dealer for the royal flush. The Wall Street Journal has a story titled "The Pandemic-Era Tax Break Keeping the IRS Up at Night" about an expired pandemic-era tax break for small businesses. The IRS is wading through more than 800,000 tax returns, and more are arriving amid a flood of claims for this employee retention tax credit. I've received calls, emails, and letters personally telling me I'm missing out on $26,000 per employee in tax credits. This has literally turned into the latest, "We want to talk to you about your car warranty insurance you are missing out on." What these scammers are doing is clogging up the IRS for legitimate small businesses getting their tax returns processed. The Bill Gates-Jeffrey Epstein connection has always seemed rather strange, but this weekend we found out that Epstein appeared to threaten Gates with blackmail over an affair the Microsoft co-founder had with a Russian bridge player. The Wall Street Journal has a story titled, Jeffrey Epstein appeared to threaten Bill Gates over Microsoft co-founder's affair with Russian bridge player. Brandon Bradley happily announced on LinkedIn that he is starting a new position as non-executive chairman of Tokenovate. I did an interview with Richard Baker of Tokenovate at ISDA about the company and his career that we will be publishing this week. Actor Rick Dalton has died at the age of 90. He was a star in Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Tarantino announced Dalton's death via a tweet through the Video Archives, a podcast co-hosted by the director and his Pulp Fiction co-writer, Roger Avery. Variety reported, okay, Rick Dalton was actually a fictional character, but Tarantino announced his death anyway. The Smarter Markets podcast, presented by ABAX Exchange, are very popular. Smarter Markets decided to test its popularity by having me on as a guest to talk about the history of the futures markets, particularly from the perspective of some of the characters who built the markets into what they are today. It was an interesting experience to be on the other side of the microphone, as it were. You can hear the podcast titled Days of Futures Past with David Greeley, with a link in today's newsletter. May 22nd. Is International Day for Biological Diversity. With the world's economy so intrinsically linked to the health of the environment, there are huge opportunities for financial investments to support projects designed to restore Earth's biodiversity, says the World Economic Forum. It's posted the compelling reason why the financial sector must invest in boosting Earth's biodiversity, shares the views of five global leaders on how to consider the impact and dependencies on nature and biodiversity in investment-making decision. You can read their statements with a link in today's newsletter. Follow the hashtag World Biodiversity Day for related news. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a sponsored content entry from our friends at FTSE Russell. Small caps tell us more. The Russell 2000 Index provides live index tracking data with historical performance dating back to January 1984. Academic and practitioner research confirms that large cap stocks behave differently to small cap stocks, and performance is variable. There are sub-periods during which the Russell 1000 outperforms the Russell 2000, and vice versa. Quarterly performance assessments provide valuable data points for understanding market sentiments and U.S. economic activity. You can read the report by clicking on a link in today's newsletter. Here's the entry from Smarter Markets. John Lothian, founder and publisher of John Lothian News. In the second installment of our Days of Futures Past series, we welcome John Lothian into the Smarter Markets studio. John Lothian is executive chairman at John J. Lothian & Company and founder and publisher of John Lothian News. Smarter Markets host David Greeley sits down with John to discuss the people and times that created the modern futures exchanges in Chicago. My comment. This was a harder interview to do than when Lamont Black at DePaul asked me to give the history of Chicago derivatives trading in 3 minutes to a group of students. Here I had to remember a lot more history. I start with the history of the Cashman family and how they came to the CBOT, as many immigrants had the opportunity to do after World War II. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, Why the Wisdom of the Market Crowd Beats AI. The collective judgment of investors provides the most accurate representation of pricing of stocks and bonds. Can artificial intelligence help pick stocks? More specifically, can investors use AI to determine the fair price of a stock or a bond? I bet a lot of people right now would say yes, given recent advances that allow for more processing over ever greater amounts of information. I think my AI is better than all other ones out there. My AI is the market. Here's another story, this one from RNZ News. Ratio of sheep to people drops below 5-1 for the first time in 170 years. The ratio of sheep to people in New Zealand has dropped to below 5-1 for the first time since the 1850s. Stats NZ's new agricultural production census for 2022 reveals the national flock dropped 2% over the year before to 25.3 million sheep in June 2022. My comment. It will be fine. As the saying goes, all's wool that ends wool. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our most clicked item Friday was obituary for Zoe Victoria Zerkowski, the daughter of KRM's Dave Zerkowski. She died last week at the age of 21. Our condolences to the family and friends on this terrible loss. Second was global carbon market in turmoil after Zimbabwe grabs offset money from Bloomberg. Third was crypto trading takes a few steps back after Jane Street jumps retreat, also from Bloomberg. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from The Times. Rigging of LIBOR was, quote, state-led, unquote. Global push in 2008 saw benchmark lowered. A coordinated drive by national central banks and governments pressed banks to manipulate the LIBOR and Euribor benchmark interest rates at the height of the 2008 financial crisis. An exposé to be published next week alleges. This was at the same time as dozens of former traders were criminally prosecuted for much less serious rate manipulation, it is claimed. And then here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. America's biggest bank is everywhere, and it isn't done growing. The deposit crisis that toppled First Republic and two other banks has only made J.P. Morgan stronger. Thousands of banks call the U.S. home. Among them, J.P. Morgan Chase stands alone. The bank has opened branches in 25 new states plus Washington, D.C. since 2018. Its nearly 4,800 locations are in every state in the lower 48, an achievement it alone has unlocked. It added another 93 earlier this month when it bought First Republic in a government-backed fire sale. And then finally, here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, stock prices of office landlords plummet as short sellers pile in. Vacancies climb and rents seek amid stalled return to office rate. Share prices for some of the largest office landlords have dropped to near historic lows, reflecting a sluggish return to the office rate and a rise in the number of investors betting that these stocks will keep falling. SL Green's share price closed at $22.54 on Friday. That is barely above the New York office firm's 1997 initial public offering price and a fraction of its post-global financial crisis peak of more than $140 in 2015. Vornado Realty Trust, which owns marquee office buildings in San Francisco, Chicago, and New York, closed at $13.13 a share on Friday. Vornado's share price topped $67 as recently as 2020. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial on johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect. equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.